Welcome to Value Through Vulnerability. This is a podcast dedicated to putting the human back into humanity, and I'm your host, Gary Turner. I'm also the founder of Hexo Change, and Hexo Change is a transformational change practice dedicated to helping you connect to yourself, to others, and to systems at large in a more meaningful way, thus helping us turn around our workplace and planetary challenges and accelerating how alive we all feel in every aspect of our lives. This track is called Kaleidoscope and was created for me personally and for Hexo Change by Peter Griffiths, one half of the amazing Mind Takeaway. I hope you enjoy this exploration and please do share it on your social platforms so we can bring more humanity to more people. Hope to speak to you soon. Welcome to Value Through Vulnerability. This is a podcast dedicated to putting the human back into humanity. And we are grateful to be boosted by Humans First now, which is awesome. I'm going to introduce you to two guests alongside Mike Vacanti, who's the founder of Humans First. We have with us today Alexandra Enke, who has a mission in life to help leaders to ignite their unique genius. Cannot wait to learn more about that, Alexandra. And use it for the greater good. She's born in Leipzig in Germany, has lived around the world, including Mexico, Colombia, Egypt, Austria, Italy, India, Switzerland, and Thailand. My goodness, we need to learn more about you, Alexandra. That's amazing. And in addition, we also have Samantha Sapaya, who is a sustainability strategist, chartered engineer in the field of urban design, architecture, and engineering. She also has a big focus on regenerative leadership and bought a one-way ticket to Asia, which is like amazing. So welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Welcome.
Well, look, thank you for joining us today. What I'd love to start, if I could start with you, Alexandra, would you mind just taking a couple of minutes just to expand on that introduction as to what your life's work is looking like right now?
Yeah, so I can say now from the beautiful paradise in Koh Phangan in Thailand, where I'm kind of stranded or locked down, how you can tell it, I would say it's a perfect quarantine to build a business all around genius activation. That's where I am, like right now, watching the sunset over the sea, really in peace with nature and connected to my wisdom, to my divine self, to what I have to offer, but also really connecting to nature and to the people and the world. That's where I'm currently at. And what brought me here is, I think, for sure what you just mentioned, that I discovered my purpose, that is actually really shining the light that I have, this connection to my inner genius, to my wisdom. And then when the glass was full, when I discovered that, to really, really help others to tap into their potential, into their genius, into their true power, and bring that in their magnificent, beautiful way that everyone has in this world. And I've seen the positive ripple effects it has on families, on friends, on the social circles, on the communities, but also in business. It has on the teams, it has on how culture is shaped in companies, and how suddenly it's not just about the egoistic self and the bottom line and finance and money, but it suddenly becomes about humanity, it becomes about the planet, it becomes about how we are all here together in one thing and contributing for the better of the world. So that's where I'm standing up for, is like a revolution of geniuses ignited, you know, unique individuals that really, really are in their power, and they are enabled to live their power and give their unique gift to this world. And that's what I'm striving to to push forward in what I can, and also what I'm growing to be, so I can give that more, not just for individuals, that's what I'm doing currently, but also to the broader organizations and cultures that need to shape, but step by step. But that's my big vision overall, is the systems change overall, right? Like of how we as a system run, and that way, way more people, but I think actually everyone has at least the opportunity to tap in their consciousness so they can choose. yeah, that's what I'm dreaming of. And yep, yeah. I've traveled a lot. did a lot of different work experience. I'm also was a sustainability scientist and worked for social impact at Samantha. So that's what connects our mission also. Yeah.
What a great segue that is to Sam, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Same question, Sam.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take you now from paradise on a beach resort in Thailand to urban hell in the third most densely populated city on the planet. Keep in mind the first two are 20 minutes away. So welcome to Metro Manila. We're in lockdown mode. It's an emergency and military is on the streets. Why am I here? Like Gary said, I bought a one-way ticket to come back to Southeast Asia after 12 years in Northern Europe, primarily because I have become who I needed to be in order to come back. And that person is a sustainability strategist who has a strong sense of empathy, a strong sense of heart, somebody who cares a lot about the climate emergency and the decades of suffering that's ahead of us, somebody who cares about knowing how systems work and trying to find leverage points within those systems. So going back to what Alexandra mentioned, that every individual can be a leverage point. Every individual needs to find their genius in order for them to be effective in actually fighting the war we need to fight, not against each other, but against our own undoing. So that's the reason why I'm here, finding other people and trying to stir up something that will lead to a wave of change for us youth. I really think that it's a generational change. It's an evolutionary change. That's the only way we bring in new mindsets and new realities.
I love that. Gary, can I jump in on this? Because there's something from both Alexandra and Samantha that stood out to me. And it harkened me back to when youth was part of my self-description, which is now a faint memory. But both of you with that purpose that you're able to state so well, right? And they're big ambitions. Because you see it clearly now and you have that ambition and you do have the depth of understanding and education and underpinnings behind it to go forward. Because that's driving the ambition that you've expressed so well. And I think of this, hearing those great ideas and hearing the reality of that journey that you're both taking. Both of you use the word becoming and growth, which is the phenomenal mindset that we would hope people hang on to. This is leading to a question, which is, as you look forward down that path, and as you're in conversations and expressing this now, what does that resistance feel like from the older people, from those that have become more rigid or have surrendered to the way things are and lost their ability to envision the way they can be? What's that, when you say you're not fighting against people, Sam, in some ways, it's fighting against that surrender, that status quo, to change minds. And what does that battle feel like for you?
Well, go for it, Alex.
Yeah, so I don't feel it so much as a battle. I think I felt it as a battle until maybe a year ago or something, when I was still thinking I can change other people's mind. I gave up on that. So it's a battle I can never win. So when I understood that was a hard insight, but like when I understood I cannot change someone else's mind, that shifted a lot of things. So it's more, who can I become that I inspire change, that I'm a leader of the change, and that maybe someone takes from anything that I do some glimpse and takes it for them to change themselves. So that's really, and I saw the ripple effects already. Like I see it in my family when I think now, yeah, the older generation, I think about my family or like my older colleagues that I worked with, where they just can tell me, you know, I'm so inspired by how you deal with that situation. I'm so inspired how you just, you know, forgive, or how you just grow. And I'm so inspired how you just live your dream, and how you just go for it, you know, like you receive your calling and you go. I never really got in touch with my calling. So how does it feel like? And those conversations, that empower me so much to go and to just keep growing, because I know the change will not come because I change someone, but I change myself and try to become that version that I want to see in the world. And so I can inspire others to do the same.
Yeah, and I would add to that, for me, I think I feel like I'm on the front line, because again, it's not about fighting people, it's about fighting ideas. And ideas come up in people's minds through conversations. So as we have conversations, ideas are coming up in people's minds. And after a certain amount of time, a certain amount of inspiration, a certain amount of perspective, then you start seeing a shift in mindset. These things take time, but that is the front line. Especially when you're not the only person talking about ideas. There's a lot of stuff out there that's being bombarded at people all the time, right? So how do we shift the conversation? That's really the point here, where we're trying to get people talking more about what the future can be like, as opposed to what we think the system is going to give us.
Right, right. And it's so wonderful, because both of you have that forward view where it's discovery, and you're very clear about those ideas, where so many of the voices, I believe, across the range, are still dissecting things, trying to still understand what it looks like and how it works, and only explaining that. It's like peeling the layers away and blogging about it. And we do that in society, and we do that in business, as if we're still trying to discover how it works. We're deconstructing the watch to find the wheels inside. And I think we know how business works. And what I love about the view that both of you are bringing to the world is we're discovering how it can work. What's possible, not what is the current state. I think it's beautiful.
I love that, Mike, and I'd add to that. Look, you two, this is why I was just so buzzing about getting Alex and Sam onto this conversation, because what you both speak about so brilliantly for me is there is this big systemic change. Let's call it out. Like, if any of you listening to us right now, and thank you for listening, do not listen to the COVID-19 challenge right now. That is Mother Nature saying, get off your backside right now and take some accountability. Like, and I'm talking to myself as well as everybody else that's listening. Like, that big system thing, I think what it's done is brilliantly layered. You know, if we think even like a month ago, you had the super rich, you had the poor, you had the haves, you had the have nots. Now you've just got one humanity all sitting here with the same fear, anxiety, and hope. And I think that leveler is such an opportunity for us to step into that conversation. And I wonder, would you challenge that, or would you build on that, Sam and Alex? Maybe come back to Alex first. What's your thoughts around that, challenges or building on that sentiment?
Yeah, so I believe that it just teaches us a lesson, right? Like a lesson suddenly that we are, like at least in the Western world, that all the safety and the security and the opportunities and all the things we took for granted, that they are actually not for granted. Freedom to travel, freedom even of walking out, even like the little thing of touching, of being in contact, it's something we should be grateful for. Those little things, right? The toilet paper, the little things, right? Like we should be grateful for in having. And I think there are big, big lessons to be learned. And I feel, I really feel that fear and also the economic pressure and like all the things that will happen. Like there will be a big, it will not just be the COVID crisis. I mean, we all sure about that. There will be a big financial crisis, big economic impact. We will experience something of a world turmoil that we've never experienced before, I guess. That's just around like to come after we can travel again. Yeah, so maybe. So I'm prepared for that. But I think also here, even that's really scary and it really lead to that a lot of wealth and a lot of things will just be shifted because it's just not will exist anymore. A lot of businesses will not exist anymore. A lot of livelihoods will not be there. But in all of this, there's always an other coin of the side. Yeah, like all this money and all this wealth and all these things that might be lost and all whatever economy goes down. But that is like the room for something new to establish. And this, and I, that's what I love. Like Sam and me are really aligned on that. That we just say, we need to be the creator of the future. We need to be creating that. So this is an opportunity to create it now and not let us being created by other people what they do, but actually like place our role in that now and try to build out of this a better world. That's at least what I think.
How about you, Sam?
The amazing thing is we don't even have to try. We just have to do. That's it. Yeah. The one thing for me that this pandemic has brought, and I think, Alex, you're going to really love this. This is a collective meditation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What this is taking away all the layers of how people have wanted us to see the world, have wanted to keep us in control, have wanted to maintain our tunnel vision. This has taken all those layers away. Just like in meditation, where you remove layer after layer after layer to find the truth. So that's where we are now. The truth.
You know what I love about that, Sam, is when you say a collective meditation, I can envision that, and it's really brilliant. And then it also occurs to me that meditation is not a decision, it's a practice. Mm-hmm. So we can get better at it because we have some room for growth. I think it's fair to say we have some room for growth.
Isn't that amazing? So in the meditation, you find the truth and you find the path. You know how to grow. And that's exactly what evolution is, collective growth. Mm-hmm. So this now is the start of our mindset evolution as a species. There's going to be a lot of forces that are trying to push us into other directions. Just as it is tough to stay in a meditative state, just as it is tough to recognize how it is that you have to grow and take the pains with that. This is a collective state of growth that we're entering into. But the beauty of it is we don't have to think, we just have to do.
You know, I think of you taking that trip with ambition and with a goal and with a world vision to go down and be in the place doing what you're doing now with that perspective. And I just heard those words come out that really are brilliant from a perspective and a maturity and a wisdom standpoint. That wasn't taught in engineering school, was it?
No, it wasn't.
And I
should be though. It should be taught in engineering school. You know what? Systems should be taught. Growth should be taught. Learning should be taught. How is it that we learn? These things are how, this is the way our education system has completely failed us. In fact, this is the way our entire global parenting system has failed. Because we don't realize that these are important lessons. So this is part of the shift that we're about to evolve into.
And you step into your whole self when you do that, which is brilliant, right? It's like, Sam, that's not the way engineers think, so you can't do that, or you won't have a job, you won't have an impact. And you've dismissed all of that, you've broken out of those containers, and you're out doing marvelous work. And that really feeds into what Alexandra is talking about in finding our genius and not letting others take it away from us or contain it or tell us what it needs to be. It's discover it and truly bring it out. And I love that vision that you have, Alexandra.
Yeah, I think that's so connected also to what just Sam said. Because that's like when I see Sam speaking, I just feel her genius like flowing out of her. So I'm like, yes, please do it. Go for it. Like, it's amazing. We need people like you to shine and to bring their light to the world, because that's what the world needs. So yeah, like, I just discovered that we all have this unique light genius, this one within all of ourselves in the last years, and within myself also. And like, sometimes I'm thinking, I love my parents and I love how I grew up and I love the systems, but what would have happened if I just would have grown up in an ideal world where like I was just actually like strength-based, educated, and I could directly find out what I'm great in, and I would have not needed now this last years to get basically the layers out again and to uncover the genius, because I layered beforehand, I layered things out. Up to it, you know, to uncover it. So that's my vision, like for let's call it education system, and me as a parent for the future, because I think there's also a way, way different way how we can run education. But now we are all in this boat, right? Like, we all have, and I think the older generation has so many more layers. So I'm grateful that I just have these young layers with like my 29 years and raised up in a great family. I'm so grateful for. And but, and the circumstances in Western Germany, right, and everything. But now it's the time to actually find that again and enjoy that beauty of living in that genius, what will feel happy and fulfilled, because that's what everyone actually is looking for, right? What's the purpose of life? It's happiness overall. Like, if you nail it really, really down, it's happiness overall. And I think a lot of people search for it, but it's not a search, it's just there, it's here. And the journey of living it, of action, that's like, Sam, I think you will resonate again. Like, that's like, we need to do, right? Like, it's not something that I introspect and I meditate for 10 hours every day, but it's something I feel, I connect, and then I need to act, because it's always a call to action.
Can I build on that as well, Alexandra? Because I think what's really interesting is that there's this like, we need to take action, we need to grow, we need to make better, etc. But where's that coming from? That act, that call to action, isn't coming from someone else telling you to do it, is it?
No, that's the beautiful thing. We have that guidance within us. And that's then again, collective meditation, connecting to that point. Meditation is a great pathway to figure out what our genius has to say. Yeah, also other ways, right? Like yoga or any physical way that makes us feel in the body and gets us connected to our heart. But I'm following, like, I'm really, that's my topic, right? Like, a lot of research and neuroscience and everything. Meditation, and the right meditation, is actually one of the greatest pathways to get a connect, because we need to come to a point where we listen. But it can also happen to us just in beautiful peace in nature. It can even happen just in connection with people, right? Like, but where we are in the state of receiving. And when we can, and then it's, you ask a question, you will get the answer. And that's actually beauty. I know that sounds woo-woo, but it's not. I just listened today to a great, great podcast from Mind Rally. And they were like just sharing that they teach meditation now in the top Fortune 500 companies, because they also realized it's not woo-woo. This is the most effective thing. Like, science has nailed it down. Meditation is a wonderful pathway to get more focused, get better at work, get more productive, but also center ourselves and get more grateful and happy overall. So.
That's nice. And I would definitely add to that, the most of the world grew up in hardship. We grew up with a lot of anger, a lot of frustration at the way the world is, at the cards that we've been dealt. And I think for most of us, that focus really comes from determination. Whatever drives that determination is whatever gets you out of that situation. And you don't get out, you stay and you perpetuate the cycle for the next generation. So for example, for me, I didn't have the most fun or loving childhood. I don't remember most of it because of that. And all I remember is being incredibly angry as a kid. I was always angry. I would walk around in rage, like blind rage. I hated the way the world was. I didn't understand why I was angry. I just knew that nothing was right. I didn't see anything that was worth actually creating. And as soon as I left Singapore, I realized why. Because of the layers of the system. I wasn't able to see, I was blind because of the layers. And so that frustration at being blind and not being able to see is really what led to this rage. For most of my life, obviously all my life up to the point where I actually left my home country. And that's when I really started understanding that this is productive. I could either have killed myself with it or become someone really amazing with it.
That's the meaning, right? Like out of our hardships, we can either become the victim of it and say, okay, let's hide here and just deal with it. And that's why I'm here. Or like rise, like what you did, like see there's some higher message in it. There's some wisdom in it. I learn from it and I grow to a person that will make the world better and make less hardship in the end over here.
And it's a constant thing. It doesn't go away. I'm still enraged today, but I know how to direct it and I know how to get to a better place with it. And then I reach the next level of rage and it keeps driving me. That's just that's just how I'm driven.
I'm just sitting with that for a moment because I, being able to channel that energy, whatever is driving it from the beginning, whatever is creating that energy, the choice that you've made to direct that energy into a productive and positive way that is also teaching others to embrace whatever energy is driving them and direct it thoughtfully. And Sam, I'm touched by the journey of leaving the country, right? Leaving that period of childhood, finding a place that gave you the perspective and insight and let you understand yourself. And I think for a moment, and this is what I paused on, the strength to know that, have the conviction to have turned that energy into positive action and beliefs, and dive right back into the place that had caused that initial pain is just amazing. I'm moved by that. And that's leadership. And what I've heard from both of you today is when we are in this collective state that we're in, right? Everybody is affected by this. We've talked about if we're all sitting in the same bubble right now in this current present situation on something that we don't have control over, you're making me rethink, who would I follow out of this bubble? Would it be you? Yes. Would it be those that have led us into the bubble? No. And I think of the great choices that are available during this to be present, hear the voices, elevate those that we will want to follow out, and make sure we get out of the line of those that have created the destruction.
I just want to reinforce, like, I've borderline got a tear in my eye listening to both of you, Alexandra and Sam, and for nothing more than movement, like genuine connection to your mission, how you're showing up. And I think you spoke earlier on, Sam, about the war is not against each other. It's against the undoing of ourselves. And I just want to hold that space for a second for anyone that's listening to us, like, because with choice comes accountability, and that word's the tough one. Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, we've all got choices, but again, in the moment, we've got choices. But, like, do we choose accountability and choice, or do we choose the status quo and fear with that choice? And we've all got that choice right now. So I'm really interested to see, as people listening to us today, how this sits with them. And are they willing? We talk about courage and vulnerability a lot in this podcast. Are people going to have the courage and the vulnerability to sit with themselves when they listen to us? Or are they just going to switch off after 10 minutes because it's a little bit too difficult?
That's what I'd like to expand on, actually. So you both mentioned a choice, and you both mentioned we can choose our leaders. I think there's also an additional step hidden within there, which is to purge the old, to ensure that they never come back. Because this is the same with our own habits, right? When we're forming individual habits, not only do we need to replace a habit with a better one, but we need to make sure that there's no way for us to go back to an old habit. So this is the same right now collectively, that we need to shift the mindset. And I honestly think that Alexandra has the key to this, because in every individual, there is the potential to take away those layers that make you blind. Mm-hmm. Uncover that truth and ignite whatever that is for the greater good.
Yes, beautifully said. I think that's what I have the key, and I think a lot of other people around here have a similar genius to mine, that are here born on this planet to develop and support others in their growth, so they can become and express their genius. And like Sam, yeah, stand up for fighting and activism for climate change and really, really making this happening, right? Like that there's a world for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren to live in and to thrive, a beautiful world. And there's also all the other people, right? Like the people that will create innovations of the future, the tech solutions, but also the amazing heart geniuses that serve us with like basic services, right? That are the supermarket angels, or that are the doctor angels that keep us healthy. Everyone is born to serve in some way. To humanity, and we all have our unique part in it, and everything is beautiful, and there's no value what it is, but it's just what we have here to give and to tune into what it is.
I'd like just to pop in, Mike, on this one just briefly, because I think what you spoke to wonderfully there for me, Alexandra, is there's a lot of talk now 4-6 weeks into these current challenges around, as you said, the angels. So those support services, those public sector people that have been valued not so well in previous generations. And I think Mike and I spoke a lot about this. It's amazing how the belief systems are actually dissolving. So our belief that that person is doing that role to serve me rather than the collective we, like that is all dissolving. Like, and I think there's a huge opportunity for us, again, if we're accountable, if we take choices, if we connect with great people like you, to really realize and feel into the fact that we are part of one human race and not these divided, separate parts of whatever someone's got inside their thinking in the moment. And I'm just really intrigued. Are you seeing that where you are in your different parts of the world right now? Is it a similar, because I'm sitting in Europe, you've got Mike in the US. What's it like in Asia at the moment around that sense of connectedness? I know Asian philosophy normally is more connected anyway, but is there, what's going on for you over in your parts of the world right now around that sensing?
Well, for me, I have to say that in Asia, we're all sitting pretty, watching the West realize that this individualism, the ego, they're starting to realize. Like, so the entire Western world is starting to realize where that falls apart. And obviously, our civilizations have been through various iterations of that. There's so many stories in our histories where we've learned that lesson again and again. But Western civilization hasn't had that. Definitely not facing huge pandemics like this, which even in my lifetime, we've faced at least 3 or 4 times. So there, that introspection and that focus on not just public services, but basic services. You know, now we think of the internet as a basic service. Think about all the infrastructure that goes into that, all the engineers that have to work double time to make sure that that infrastructure is working well. Clean water. How many millions of people in the world don't have clean water at a time where we're being told to wash our hands? You know, basic infrastructure, how is it that we get our logistics and food supplied to us? How are our food systems surviving right now when people are not allowed to work? British people are having to now deny the seasonal workers that they usually bring in at this time of year to harvest the food that is grown in British fields. And so British people themselves have now got to go back to the fields. Isn't that change of mindset just exactly so important in showing how interdependent we are as societies and showing how the enemy is not the other?
Yeah. And Sam, you know, that example of food supply, it goes to the supply chain all over and how connected we are. So now there are, you know, shipments are held up in every every port, every country, and basically every means of transportation. And so that supply chain has come to a standstill, which is a big part of the food distribution chain, and has many, many ramifications to it. That you're correct.
Absolutely. And one thing I would throw in as an idea, a lot of what India exports, China imports. And because of the supply issues in India right now, China is now experiencing an issue of national security with its food supply. So by that logic, doesn't that mean that China should have a vested interest in ensuring that India's ability to produce food in a healthy way, in a robust way, is actually a benefit to China?
And that's where I think through that, when you were talking about, you know, we historically, we can look back and we can read about pandemics, and for, you know, for 5,000 years is kind of the first one. If we take the top 20, it goes back 5,000 years, right? And so when we say we've learned the lessons, I would say that we've had the experiences, but if we had learned the lessons, wouldn't we be better at it? And that's what I challenge is, we talk about ancient wisdom, and I'm not so sure. I see ancient documentation. The wisdom piece, I think we can continue to question. If we learn those lessons, we would be better prepared today. And I just encourage future learning from this day forward, which is why it's so exciting to be in conversation with the two of you, partly because you still have the strength in you that it hasn't been beaten out of you. So the level of capitulation to form to society, has not put you in that container. You're breaking containers and helping everyone see the way forward. And again, that's so commendable in your approach and your inner strength and then your wisdom with that. It's really phenomenal.
I'm conscious of time with our listeners. What I'd love to do, could I invite both Sam and Alexandra maybe to, what would your invitation be to those listeners that have generously stayed with us through this conversation? If you're going to, I don't like the word advice, more invitation. What would you invite people to maybe think about or do following this conversation? Maybe start with you, Alexandra, if I may.
So I invite us listeners here of this podcast to really dive deeper about what is their unique genius, their calling, their purpose in this world. What are they here to serve? And to really go to that place of finding clarity. I just made an awesome blog article. What's just like in that field. So if the listeners need some guidance, there is a lot of guidance out there. It's of asking the right questions. But I think this clarity of genius is super important. And I invite everyone to get that. And then it's about action. Yeah, so it's about the meditation that you do to receive what you're here to do. It's about setting clear intentions in everything we do for how to become the person we want to be, but also of how to act with our genius in the way that we are here to act and to enjoy that journey. That's also not a hard battle. That's what I see. I think life is here to have happiness and for us and for the people around us. So it also has a sense of enjoyment of this journey of becoming, because just like this, we can experience the bliss and the happiness in it. So yeah, that's my invitation.
Thank you, Alexandra. We'll make sure that we add your wonderful article that you released yesterday to the show notes. We'll make sure that's available. And how about you, Sam?
I would invite people to imagine the future. What kind of future do you want your children to live in? And educate yourself. What does it take to get to that future? What do we have to do? Who do you have to be? What do you have to know? How do you have to think? And then be that person.
Wow. Honestly, I'm just buzzing. I'm always buzzing, but like particularly buzzing today. Mike, let's finish up with yourself. What's coming up for you following this conversation, maybe as an invitation for our kind listeners today?
So much resonated with me so strongly, and I think it's such a great example. We've talked about shedding the layers, and we've talked about, you know, living from within and then growing from within and bringing that out. I think that is such a core message, and I think, you know, throughout the conversation, both of you articulated that in a very real way, very, very strongly. The mission that I'm on with Humans First is to make sure we're elevating the voices that we need and building that platform and building the community where we can support each other, even if it's not the same mission, maybe especially if we're not on the same mission, so we can find that commonality and find ways to support each other and those connections happening and having the two of you raise your hands voluntarily, coming in and contributing to the community is an absolute gift. So I want to thank you for that. But I think it's showing what's possible when we allow people to form loosely those alliances and find each other to elevate the voices. And what I learned today is I want to work very hard to elevate both of your voices to the best of my ability. And the other piece that came up, Gary, is I think this is why I wrote the book. Because Sam, when you say discard what isn't working, It is that choice, and I write about that in the book. Quite matter of fact, one of the core messages is to bust down those containers because they don't suit us anymore. You know, we're on a path that we're at an inflection point, and now that inflection point has been emphasized, and we're, you know, this path is not desirable nor sustainable that we are on. We get a chance to re-envision that, and both of you have brought brilliant visions on this reset point of what it can look like when we come out. And I'm absolutely in your corner and moved by your vision and your strength to pursue. Thank you for leading.
Times two, all of that. But really, and I just, my simple invitation is please connect with Samantha, please connect with Alexandra. You can see why Mike and I wanted to have a conversation with them. And I'm pleased to say I can see what you all see. Like, it isn't that far away. Like, if the UK government can find $330 billion overnight for the economy, we can also drop our belief systems just as easily. So I think that's what I would invite people to think about, is actually just to go inside, as Alexandra said, but really write down on a piece of paper the top four or five things that you believe are true today, and then deconstruct them and actually just challenge yourself. Are they really true? So your belief about that person that lives down the road, or disabled people at work, or that person that cut you up on the road, just really sit in that belief system, because you'll probably find most of them don't serve you today in 2020, and particularly won't serve you as you go into this new world that's going to be emerging, that Sam and Alexandra are going to help us create. So as we wrap up, let's just make sure that people know how to get hold of you. So Sam, what's the best way? So we'll come back to Mike to wrap up. Mike's got something to say. So Sam, how can people find you? What's the best way to get in contact?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. My website isn't quite up yet, but I'm on LinkedIn and you can find everything on there.
Perfect. Alexandra.
Yeah, similar. Like my LinkedIn page, and you can write me there and get in touch, and I will answer everything. And I'm really, really looking forward to find some allies in those movements together, right? Like Sam and me, we're always saying, like, sometimes you feel when you're like a lonely warrior sometimes, but we are actually all here fighting for the same things, and we are not alone in this. So everyone is really, really welcome to connect, to write, to talk, because this is a movement. This is not us. It's just two people in two different parts of the world sitting there and doing things. But this can only be a movement if we are connecting, and if we are, yeah, if we are together helping each other to flourish and to, yeah, live the geniuses we have and lead for the change.
Yeah, that's brilliant. You know, the one thing I want to encourage the listeners is, at any point during this conversation, you found yourself having that old thought of, yeah, but that's not the way it works. Oh, but here are the challenges to that. I encourage you to hit rewind right now. Change your mindset as you listen and hear some of the gems that were just delivered in this. You may have blocked them out. Remove that layer, open up, rewind, listen again. You two were phenomenal. This was a lot of fun.
Great. Thank you for adding that as well, Mike. Sam, Alexandra, Mike, thanks for joining us today. Please do join us on the next episode, but do connect, as I say, seriously connect with all of these amazing humans, and let's collectively step into this future that we can all reimagine. Awesome. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Hi there, Gary Turner wrapping up this sensational podcast. I know I use that word quite a lot because I'm grateful to speak to loads of great people, but this was just off the charts, absolutely off the charts. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Mike, for such a fantastic conversation. And thank you for listening as well. The last few reflections I'd like to share with you were where Sam shared that The focus is not just on public services, but on basic services, the internet, supply chain for food, etc. And isn't it interesting how we really take those things for granted now? The things that we assume will always be there, but as we've seen with COVID, you know, it can feel very, very fragile. And indeed, should we not embrace the fragility of our human experience? We are in the moment human beings. Things can change. Things do change all of the time. And indeed, I'll share that I'm actually going to be writing a book called Change is an Inside Job. And this speaks perfectly for me to that particular sentiment. Also, Alex shared a wonderful reflection that the freedom to travel, the freedom to be in contact with one another, these are the little things that we should be grateful for. And back to that sentiment again, how often do we just take that, you know, the fresh air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the other human beings on the planet that we interact with, we should really come from a place of so much more gratitude, a place that I haven't come from in the past and somewhere I intentionally try to spend more time these days. So I hope that this served you. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I hope you can see the opportunity for you individually, but also for us collectively to step into a better version of ourselves and also to make a difference bigger than ourselves. Again, there are Humans First conversations every weekday should you wish to step into those. They're open, inclusive, completely free. So please do join us. There's two other things I'd like to mention. One is there is a rally day that Mike and 20 peers are holding on the 30th of April. You can find the details for that rally in the show notes of this podcast. And we are intending to hold the first Humans First retreat across 2 days in the UK, pushed back from May to 30th and 31st of July 2020. We're hopeful and believing that that will take place with the intent that things will have calmed down by then. So loads of great activities taking place. You can see why myself and Mike Vacanti are collaborating. There's so much good stuff going on around the humans and the humanity that join us in conversation on this podcast, and the opportunity to connect meaningfully and deeply with other human beings as we start to shape the new possible future world that is sitting in front of us. Until episode 105, thank you for joining us. Please do connect with Alexander, do connect with Sam, do connect with Mike. You can connect with me, Gary Turner, at Gary IP Catalyst on Twitter, or Gary Interpersonal Catalyst on LinkedIn. I'm available to support you with thinking partnerships, with a range of people-centered workshops. And yeah, always happy to talk and always happy to collaborate. All the very best for now.
Really hoping that you enjoyed that exploration on the Value Through Vulnerability podcast. You can find out much more about Hexo Change at hexochangenow.com. That's hexochangenow, one word, .com. You can subscribe to a weekly newsletter at that website, which includes information about live stream conversations, further service offerings, blogs, but also our in-person events, of which we have multiple each year. So I really hope that you'll join us. Do connect with me, Gary Turner, on LinkedIn, and I really hope to hear from you soon.